This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivisu. The non-governmental organizations have never been immune to financial constraints, regardless of their impact. The social enterprise Serve Better is organizing a national conference called Fund NGO 2014 on how NGOs can enhance their approach in managing and funding their social programs. We have in the studio with us Serve Better's Executive Director, SB Nathan, together with Wansaiful Wanjan, CEO of Ideas, and Alia Karen, CEO of the MAA Medicare Charitable Foundation. Welcome to the show, all of you. How are you today?
Thank you.
Very good. Thanks.
Yeah. You know, Nathan, what does Serve Better actually do?
Serve Better is, as you said, a social enterprise which was primarily set up to help NGOs build capacity. As you know, NGOs in Malaysia suffer from all kind of challenges. Mm-hmm. In terms of management, in terms of raising funds, in terms of getting people to buy into whatever they do, right? So the people behind Serve Better are actually people who have been working with NGOs for many years, and they see this gap there. So they've decided, why don't they come together, set up an entity with a primary focus of helping NGOs build capacity so that they can overcome all these challenges.
Okay, so when you say build capacity, you're just not talking about funds?
Yeah, in terms of management, in terms of communication, in terms of planning and designing programs, in terms of selling what they do to the community at large.
What about human capital?
Yeah, including that, yes.
Okay. Saiful, I've always wondered, I mean, is the NGO path the way to go in general?
Well, I think NGOs definitely have a role to play. We can't discount them and we can't rely on them completely either. It's just one of the sectors that can play a very important role in society overall. I think NGOs and now, you know, the new evolution of it, the social enterprise model, this too can play a very important role and get people to help out whenever there is a need for good things to be done. There is this argument that NGOs and charitable foundations are not really sustainable model moving forward, mm-hmm. because we are dependent on donations, grants and handouts, really. My response to that is, you look back for hundreds of years, the model has always existed. And I think the model will continue to exist because there is a tendency in people to do good things and people are looking for ways to give. If we can provide a good enough platform for people to give, I think the support will be there.
You know, Alia has actually gone against all odds. I mean, you've been working with NGOs for 2 decades and you've successfully raised 50 million. I mean, what's your approach to fundraising?
Well, firstly, 50 million is over 2 decades, so that's a long time.
Okay, all right.
So when you do the math, it's actually not much. having said that, it wasn't easy. I agree with what Wansaiful said just now. You know, Malaysians are generally very, very generous. And they look for a platform to actually give. We have reached a part now that people, or rather donors, question where their money is going to, what is it used for, you know, etc. And I think they have a right to know. So I think when it comes to, funding for NGOs, it's certainly not easy. What's more with the upcoming GST, the recent increase in petrol prices, we're all affected. Mm-hmm. But it's something that we can't give up because lives depend on us. When you talk about an NGO or a non-profit, whether it's a non-governmental non-profit, you're actually taking care of many people, not just a small group. Sometimes in our case, it's like 800 over patients. And their lives actually depend on us sometimes because we need to constantly provide them with the resources, the treatment, additional assistance in terms of medication, injections, everything that matters for the family, matters for the kids. So it's like their lifeline. So it's difficult. So we have to go against the odds of a very small group who probably think that, you know, NGO work is not important or not crucial. We just have to strive and go on and mm-hmm. raise funds and find the right people, find the right target audience, find the people that support. That's how we actually raise this amount of money.
But you're corporate backed?
Not really. Initially, yes, because the MA group set up the Dialysis Centre as a CSR project. But when it came to year 2000, the board decided that we need to be self-sustainable. So we started to raise funds and, you know, self-sustain. Otherwise, it's very difficult if we always, you know, have corporate backing. And we never had for the past 14 years. But it's the men on the street. It's donors, it's corporations, it's companies, it's families, it's friends, you know. So we're very thankful that people out there, know what we do, care, and to support, to continue.
Nathan, do you think we have too many NGOs in the country? I think we do.
According to the ROS.
Sorry, that's one if we have too many. And two, are there proper guidelines as to how NGOs should be set up and run?
Okay. According to the ROS, there's about 47,000.
Thousand, yes.
Right, organizations registered. But of course, not all of them will be doing things like what Saiful and Aliyah have said earlier. Okay, there's the residential association, sports association, and all that. So if you speak about organizations involved in just social work, probably less than 20,000. Right. If you ask me there's too many, I don't think so, because NGOs always crop up whenever there are problems. People don't just wake up one day to set up an NGO. It's just that some issue somewhere drives them to do something. When three or four people get together, it becomes an association. So in that sense, I do not personally believe there's too many.
Okay. Yeah. Saiful, do you need to set up an NGO to do good?
Well, not really.
I'm just thinking few of us can get together and do good.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the spirit behind NGO work is really a few people getting together to do good things. Mm-hmm. There are times when it is better for you to be a registered entity, a legal entity. But if you're doing a one-off thing, you know, like you're cleaning up somebody's, you know, an old people home somewhere, then probably you don't need to register yourself. You just go and do the good thing. So it really depends on what your plans are moving forward. I think that there are times when you need to form a proper NGO, legally registered NGO. There are times when you can just do it yourself. But your question just now about whether we have too many NGOs today is an interesting one. I think what we are seeing is an environment where people feel that we can be dependent on the government for a lot of things, to the extent that we have, to a certain extent, lose out this desire to do good deeds. I think we need to bring back this culture of people actually doing things for themselves and not hoping that others will do those good things, without us getting involved. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we have enough NGOs, actually. I think we need to have more.
20,000 for a population of 30 million.
Which is not enough. The more we have, the better. The smaller NGOs can play a very important role. If you go back into our own history, for example, even hospitals, schools, cleaning roads, running the fire services are run by charitable bodies. So this is the time, this was a time when there is a real community feeling out there, when people actually do work together. We're not as divided as we are now, you know. So there is a platform out there that where NGOs can play a very important role.
Why do you think we have come to this stage? Because back in the day we had the Rukun Tetangga, we had all of that was communities coming together to do some kind of social good as well. But how did we stray from all of that?
I think the government has become a lot bigger than it should be. The government has taken over the role of many of the roles that community should really play. And this is why we're losing this community sense, community spirit among us. I think there is a need to relook at the society that we are living in today and try to imagine, you know, what is a better society? Do we want a society in which when you see someone needing help out there, immediately comes to your mind, I need to call the Jabatan Kebajikan Masyarakat? Mm-hmm. Or do you want a society where when you see somebody who needs help, people say, I will help out? You know, which one is better? And we should be working towards that direction.
Okay. And just looking abroad, how do they have as many NGOs? How do they function? They have very much a social welfare kind of economy as well, right? We don't. Is there a country that doing well with NGOs?
Just to add on to what Saiful has said, NGO is just a label being given to a group of people coming together for a purpose. You know, like what he mentioned, there's the registered and unregistered, right? So in that sense, if you look at it, if you look all over the place, right? There are group of peoples coming together. Even, for instance, in the war-torn area of like Syria, Libya now, everybody is helping. Over the other day, I saw in TV, whenever there's a bombing or whatever, people are coming together and helping. So in a sense, they are an NGO, right? It's not the government that is helping them. So I think it is prevalent all over the world.
Okay. I think it's not the number of NGOs. It's really what the existing NGOs do. It's not, you know, the numbers. It's not the quantity.
Of course.
So to me, I think it's more the role the NGOs play, right, and the importance.
And do you think they have been effective at what they're doing?
Mostly, yes. I mean, you know, there are so many NGOs, as Nathan pointed out. And you'll find even in, if you talk about, say, cancer, there's so many NGOs related to cancer that we get confused. If you're talking about, you know, heart, then there's the Heart Fund, the Heart Foundation, you know, and things like that. But they all play an important role, an equally important role. So it's difficult to say, oh, there are too many NGOs or there are not enough NGOs. I think it's just because when people see a reason that they want to do more, if they find the existing NGO not playing a very important role, then a group of people set up another NGO, you know. That's why you find so many NGOs for children.
And then you find duplication of work.
Yes, definitely. There is definitely, it's bound to happen because sometimes some NGOs are rather in, you know, excuse the word, but old, long, you know, long in service, long time. So if they are there 30 years and 40 years, and then you find that that NGO is just there for namesake, probably a year they do one event, one activity. So then you find another group would want to set up something which, you know, could benefit the Malaysian public or anyone who is in need at a more better state to help them and help sustain whatever the need or the cost. Then I think it's okay. It's okay to have, you know, more NGOs.
We're discussing NGO management and public-private partnerships. There is actually a conference coming up, the Fund NGO 2014 conference. I didn't realise that a conference would actually come to be for such a purpose. But we'll come back and find out what it's all about. And if you have a question on NGOs, send it through. It's 016-201-9000 or tweet BFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Meera Sevasuthi. In the studio with me, SP Nathan, who's the Executive Director of Serve Better, Wan Saiful Wanjun, CEO of Ideas, and Alia Karen, who's the CEO of the MAA Medicare Charitable Foundation. We're discussing NGO management and public-private partnerships. Once again, if you have a question for them, it's 016-201-9000 or tweet BFM Radio. Nathan, why did you think that a conference was actually needed to talk about funding? I mean, I'm assuming it's funding because it's titled Fund NGO 2014.
There is a purpose for titling it as such. I'll come to that later. Why we need a conference is simply because of the thousands of NGOs in Malaysia. There are the big ones and the small ones. The big guys, they are okay, like Malaysian Kidney Foundation, they are all right. But the small ones, which are larger in number, they are the guys who need help. The big guys, they've got their own in-house training departments. They have the access for resources and all that. Whereas the small guys who are larger by number and have greater field access, right? They lack management training. They lack resources. They lack ideas on how they can better whatever they're doing. And most importantly, like what everybody says, NGOs need money. They need to learn how to raise funds better, how to raise funds more effectively. So we've come out with this conference where we, although we call it the NGO Funders Conference, but basically when they come to the conference, they will learn all aspects of running an NGO, you know. So, of course, funding is there as a key component, but just knowing to learn, just learning about funding itself is not good if you don't know how to manage the funds, if you don't know how to create the projects, if you don't know how to communicate your projects, if you don't know how to plan and design your projects, right? So it's a everything in one kind of conference.
Alia, are the laws and policies in Malaysia intact, or is it good enough for the proper running of NGOs?
It's a very grey area, I would say. You know, it's difficult because it depends on what the NGO is registered under. There are some that are registered under the ROS, some registered under the Sdn Bhd because it's set up by, you know, a trust. So, and then there are some who are tax exempted, so then you have the IRB or the LHDN people involved. So it's a very grey area, because I think these policies, rules, regulations of setting up an NGO has changed. But if you're talking about policies that govern, the law that governs NGOs, the way it's run, how it's supposed to run, it has not changed for ages. So there's no proper guideline. And then you find there that everyone, you know, wants to do the way that they want to do mm-hmm. things. So it's difficult. This has been raised recently with lots of, especially the Malaysian public, querying a lot on how money is spent, you know, where does money go to in NGOs, how transparent are NGOs. So recently there has been a lot of hype on this, and we, you know, we understand why all these questions keep popping up, because we are, you know, running an NGO.
Is there a body that looks after or looks into the running of NGOs, Saiful?
Well,
a watchdog as such.
we were just discussing
yes. We were saying we shouldn't call it watchdog, we watch cat.
Okay. It's very sensitive at the moment. Yes.
But I think that is a brilliant question. For the last 2 to 3 years, I've been arguing for the need of a charities commission. You see, what Ali has brought up just now is a very good point. If you want to register an NGO, what do you register as? And how do you decide what legal entity to take? Mm-hmm. Do you become a company limited by guarantee? Which is a little bit weird, because you are a charity, an NGO, but you call a company limited by guarantee. Or do you go with the ROS? Or do you go with the youth ministry if you're a youth organization? What if you're a religious organization? What do you do? We do not have one body that will simplify the desire for people to do good, that will help people to do good things. And I think it would be really great if we can have something like a charities commission that can help simplify all this and make it as a one-stop center. You know, that is only registration. We're not talking about getting tax exemption yet.
Yes, that's right.
Ideas, for example, as an organization, I can give you, a direct example of ourselves. We have been applying for tax exemption for 4 years, and we're going back and forth to the Inland Revenue. We're not there yet. I don't know why. Don't ask me why. But the entities like a think tank is not seen as a typical NGO, yes. Because Malaysia is not used to it. Just imagine one day when entities like social enterprises become more, increase in number in Malaysia, what will happen then in terms of regulation? Because we're just not ready. I think when it comes to rules and regulation, we really need to buckle up and you know, sit down and really discuss how to move forward on it.
Mm-hmm. Now then, do you think this whole model of being a social enterprise is really the way forward for most NGOs? I mean, you're still not making profits, but whatever revenue you make is ploughed back into the business.
Part of it.
Yeah.
Part of it. Actually, once Saiful and I have spoken about it, discussed about it, we feel that NGOs should slowly move away from just being pure charity towards a social enterprise. Because when you move towards becoming a social enterprise, you become more focused in whatever you do. Right, you become more business-like, and in a way that your performance will increase. And the other key thing is that you don't have to depend on charities or funders to carry out your activities. You don't have to be at the mercy of funders. So you can plan and run everything by yourself. So it will be good, and you bring ethics back into business. For instance, current businesses, there are a lot of complaints that ethics is completely missing, right? Business is supposed to make society better, but it isn't. So if a business, by being a pure business, moves back into becoming a social enterprise, social consciousness will creep back inside. So in a way, society will benefit. So I would think that social enterprise is the way to move forward.
To move forward. Alia, what about, you know, human capital? I mean, we always talk about funding, yeah?
Yes,
NGOs
right.
always have this problem of fundraising and things like that. But what about the human capital? Because people who, you know, invest a lot of their time are most in NGOs are mostly people who are terribly passionate, and after a while
yes.
that passion wanes.
Yes, definitely.
Then what happens, you know, and you don't get paid a lot being
yes.
a part of the NGO,
right.
So what is a sustainable model?
Honestly, it's difficult to find people who want to commit their time 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day to work of NGO. I'm blessed in the sense that I have a team of people, young team of people, unlike other organizations, whereby they are committed, they have the passion, they see the vision, the mission, they see who we're helping. But out there, I hear a lot of other NGOs having this problem.
But for how long, Anya?
Retaining.
How long do you think?
I think it's definitely not going to be easy. I think it's a stigma. You know, I don't want, when they are young, you don't want to work in an NGO. It looks like it's a non-profit. I don't want to beg for charity. I don't want to ask for money. You know, I studied. I'm, you know, a degree holder. This is not my line of work. So you will have those, so the turnaround is always high in NGOs because sometimes it's a stepping stone. Not everyone can work in an NGO. So I think it's also, as much as some people want to work, they have the passion, they're just good at what they are currently doing. They're good as volunteers. They're good as business people. And a lot of them, you know, you hear a lot of people who are actually having full-time jobs in a business or in other companies and say, oh, you know, I would like to work the NGO. I'd like to give back to society. And I always say, it's okay, just stay where you are. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes it's just good where they are because they have their own resources there. They have friends. You know, they can help out on the weekends. I think it's better than, you know, everyone coming into an NGO thinking, yes, it's easy. I thought it was easy 20 years ago. Boy, was I wrong. You know, I thought it's easy. Just go, get a check, come back, you know, look good, look poor, look pitiful, and everyone's going to give you money. Sorry, it didn't work that way. Yes, you know, so now I'm still sitting here and still asking for money.
but you obviously enjoy it.
Yes, I think it's the passion. For me, it's knowing what the money was used for. Knowing where the money goes to is very important to me. Transparency is crucial. And I think that has proven in my case, whereby we see a whole lot of people coming back to donate, coming back to support simply because of these few things, which is the transparency, the reliability, the trustworthiness. It's certainly not easy in an NGO, I'll tell you. But it's satisfying. Mm-hmm.
Why did Ideas decide to go into the autism center, Saiful? It's like almost asking for more trouble. And Ideas itself, you know, you're finding it
as
difficult.
If we don't have enough trouble. Yeah.
As a think tank, right?
Yes. The autism center is something that we have been doing for the last 2 years, as you know, and we're also starting something new called Ideas Academy, which is a learning center for children aged 12 to 18 years old, providing them with education opportunities. Most of them are stateless and refugee children. So we do this to make a point. We do this to show people that there is a way out there. Through which we can provide quality services for people who need our help, and we can do it in a sustainable way. So we want to make a point. Of course, the desire to help is also there, but being an organization that is essentially a think tank, we need real-life case studies, you know, real-life examples that we can use to prove to people that it can be done. We can do certain things without relying on government assistance forever. So that's why we do what we do. And, it's really enjoyable to see that, you know, the hard work they put in, being a professional beggar that we have become as people running NGOs. Seeing that the money is being used in a very beneficial way for those who need help. It's really enjoyable and it's really fulfilling.
How do you attract the capable people? Because autism, you need to have people who are trained, and you just can't get anyone to come in and volunteer.
Yeah, I must say that is a big challenge. Attracting and managing talent is a real challenge. You see, there is this assumption that because you're an NGO, because you're a charity, you should be paid below market price. I have been told by some potential funders that I should not be paid at all.
We get it all the time.
Yeah. Yes.
That you just live on fresh air and sunshine.
Yes, exactly what I said.
So there are challenges out there. But as much as possible, we try to pay at market rate. And we do training. We do a lot of training. We invest a lot in training our staff. One of our staff tonight is departing for the US for a 3 week training program. A few weeks ago, another one went to the UK for a training program. So we invest a lot and we spend money to train people so that they develop themselves and they enjoy themselves as well.
Mm-hmm. Retaining them is another challenge.
Yes.
So that needs to be considered as well. Do you think NGOs can sort of model the profit-making organization in any way to be more sustainable?
I think they should. They should. Like, for instance, what I mentioned earlier, a social enterprise is a profit-making organization. Only difference is part of its profit goes back into social services. Mm-hmm. So NGOs should model themselves after a profit-making organization in terms of how they manage themselves, in terms of how they allocate the resources, in terms of how those companies try to make the best use of the constraints. Because every, even for-profit organizations have constraints, but the best thing is that under those constraints, they can make a profit. So NGOs and social enterprises should also work along that model. Whatever the constraints is, use your resources properly and make the best out of it.
For me, in my mind, there's always been a disconnect. You have corporations who are now required to do CSR.
Yes.
And you have 20,000 NGOs. Okay, maybe that's a lot compared to the companies. But if every company were to take on just two or three NGOs, and I don't know whether that's too much or not, then really, ideally, you shouldn't be concerned about money. Am I wrong?
Ali? Yes.
I am terribly wrong. Why? Please explain to me. So how does this corporation, NGO, CSR, connection come to
I
be?
I think if you look at it from a corporate side, you know, probably one would also be able to help you here. If you look at it from a corporate point of view, when they're doing CSR, what is it that they want? You know, they want publicity in return. They want something back. And how often do they give? Maybe it's once a year. They don't actually, you know, send you money on a monthly basis. It's not a long-term sustainability to just depend on these corporations. So I think they are doing good. Many corporations out there are doing very good CSR work, but it's something that you cannot depend on. This is an issue with NGO. Firstly, it's not called profit for us. It's called surplus. And secondly, you know, you really can't depend on corporations. Who is to know who is going to pick which NGO? Sometimes it's the same NGOs that get picked. You know, but so they, and sometimes it's the perceived value behind it that, oh, you know, it's we're not into giving for children, or this NGO is too rich, that NGO is okay, this NGO is too big, you know. So, and then you give to a smaller NGO and you don't know where the money goes to, mm-hmm. or you don't know how it's spent. So corporations also have their, they're not very happy as well when they do CSR if they do not get back their ROI in that sense. So we need to identify which kind of corporations, what do they want to do, what is it that they want, how is it that the NGOs can help to bring out the best in these corporations when they do an activity in terms of publicity, in terms of media coverage, those type of things are very, very important for the NGO, as well as the corporation has to ensure that when they give money to an NGO, that the NGO does not abuse the money, that, you know, it's very transparent, and the corporation should know where the money went to, how the money was spent, who are the people they are helping, not just give and, you know, come out in the newspapers and that's that.
Okay. Who audits the NGO?
Well, but you are subjected to the normal rules and regulations
of ROS
or Registrar of Companies. So an organization like ADS, for example, we appoint an external auditor. We submit our annual returns to the Companies Commission. So we do all the same things. And I think things like this, the smaller NGOs really need to catch up, you know, to build relationship with corporations the way you suggested just now. They need to build capacity. They need to be able to show the documents that the corporations will want. And this is why, you know, a conference like what Nathan is doing on the 10th and 11th of November at Bukit Kiara Equestrian Club is really important. I think the more events, training programs like this that can be done to the NGOs, the better it will be. And NGOs really need to invest to build that capacity if we want the environment that you spoke about just now to actually exist. Mm-hmm.
There's not a single NGO conference in Malaysia. So this is actually a very, very good platform. NGOs need to learn. Employees in NGO need to understand and learn. And it's not just about raising money. It's a whole lot of other things that they need to understand and learn.
This is another thing that comes to mind, is that the whole NGO scene is fragmented.
Yes.
Should everybody come together at some stage and have a discussion? And I suppose a conference like this is starting point.
Actually, Mira, we're working on that. That is part and parcel of Serve Better's objective. Like what Alia mentioned, you know, there's a gap between what the NGOs want to do and what the funders are looking at. There are challenges on both sides. So what we are trying to do at Serve Better is to see how we can bridge the gap
to
make each other understand the other person's challenges and make NGOs understand the challenges faced by the funders, as well as make funders understand a lot more things to do in terms of CSR other than planting trees or visiting old folks' home or schools. You know?
Yes.
So that's the purpose of this Serve Better. And we are starting off with this. We have started off earlier. Before this, we have done certain programs like programs on good governance, on publicity, on communications, on effective fundraising. We also had a program which we did, planning and designing program, where we brought in a trainer from Lebanon down here. Serve Better is also connected to the NGO Association of Switzerland. We have a partnership with them. They are a premier NGO training body in Geneva. They are our partners, and they help us in most of the programs that we do here. So it is our hope, you know, having seen all these gaps, to close this gap by having this conference as part of the program, which is like what Wan Sai Ful said, to be held on the 10th and 11th of November at the Bukit Equestrian Club.
Okay. And immediately, if we are wanting to collaborate with an NGO or work with an NGO, what should we be looking out for, Sai Ful?
I think any organizations that want to work with an NGO needs to firstly clarify what is it that you want to achieve. I've had experience before where the funders are quite fluffy about what they actually want. Mm-hmm. And when we develop our proposal and all that, we agreed on the work plan. Once it is actually being implemented, they say, oh, this is not what we want. But it was signed before. Yeah. So I think any organizations who want to work with an NGO need to have a clear picture. What is it that they want in return? What is it that they want to see implemented with the money that they're putting in? Once that has been clarified, they must work together with the NGO to ensure that the implementation program is clear and is smooth. But at the same time, organizations, funders must also understand that the reason why they work with an NGO is because the NGO usually does the job better. So they should not interfere with the operations of the NGO.
Thank you. On behalf of all NGOs. Thank you.
So, Nathan, just to quickly go through, that's 10th and 11th of November at the Bukit Kiara Equestrian Club.
That's right.
Is there a website or a phone number that we can go to?
www.surfbetter.com.my.
Our phone number that we can go to? 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 Our phone number.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.